The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the sponsor, Gulf Coast Air Care.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. And we're grooving in the studio to a little Stevie Wonder per request from Todd St. Orr.
I guess it's been a while since I've had any live music because I'm kind of funking out this morning. Here we go.
Away.
A little Blind Melon coming this weekend. So we'll see.
Todd St. Orr is here with us this morning with Gulf Coast Air Care. I've missed you. You've been away for about a month vacationing. I'm a little jealous.
How about a radio hug?
Yes, yeah, there we exactly. Go. We'll hug it out. Exactly. Okay. So I'm glad you're back, and I'm sure that your business has been running. It's kind of a good idea to take a vacation this summer when you run the air conditioning company.
Sam is capable, very capable.
Very capable.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what is the status of things now? We've had such a heat wave, and I've had several friends this past week have called me and said, my air conditioner's died, I'm out. And, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so, you know, what we find after 30 years in business is the front end of the air conditioning system seems to be the busiest.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you first put that load to that thing in May, June.
Right.
If it's going to lay down on you, it will.
Right.
But then other ones, you know, their last leg didn't show up till right when the kids go back to school. And then it's like, oh, now we got this expense. Air conditioner.
So true.
So, you know, and it's important to have a checkup. You got to have somebody look at your air conditioner once a year. Mm-hmm. I mean, just because, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. That was a Navy thing from my past.
Right.
And that's not a good strategy when you're dependent on, you know, like,
well,
it's
I got a new one a year ago.
So you're good.
So, but should I have an inspection now?
Absolutely.
Would you say?
Yeah. There's, you know,
after
it's just, and a lot of people do twice a year. Our winters are not really harsh. You know,
true.
We're begging for a little bit of winter coming. And we got some rainy weather today and all that. But, you know, that now that that heat wave is gone, it's been more tolerable. I went to the Wahoos last night.
There was
a nice breeze and it was cool out and all that. So I always think in terms of air conditioning or indoor air quality.
Right.
Like, oh, my air conditioner not working too hard during this little nice little, you know, repose we've got here.
Right.
So,
but, well, what can we do in terms of keeping up with our air conditioners? I mean, I know there's some basics, but maybe we could review those because you're the expert. You're on the expert panel this morning. And also, if you have questions, maybe if you're near, are you hearing a strange noise? Is there something going on with your system you want to ask about? Text it in this morning at 850-437-1620. I know Todd, I've known him a long time, and I know he'll do his best to answer your questions.
Yeah. So at the end of the season, if you haven't cleaned your drain line, it's time. If you need to either put some vinegar down through there or get the shop back out, go find a drain line outside.
I was going to say, back up, because I don't know where the drain line is.
So it's right in the
front
of the unit.
For those of us that need a little edumacation, what's the deal?
So there's a pan that drains all the water off, and it drains out through that drain line.
It's
goes
outside.
To the outside unit.
Okay.
But in your inside unit, in your furnace in there, your air handler unit, there is usually most of them, high percentage, there's a little cap, there's a little port there where you can open it and dump some vinegar down in there, and it keeps that funky, sludgy stuff that's built up in there all summer long.
Okay.
Because when the air conditioner's running in AC mode, you're getting moisture off the coil.
Mm-hmm.
And that moisture drains out through the drain line. And that long horizontal run between wherever the air handler is in the house and outside where the outside unit is, that's where that horizontal run gets all that gunk built up in it.
Oh, so you're in trouble if that gets clogged
up. You're going to have a flood. Then you can, ruin some flooring or carpet. Or I mean, I've had it at my house too. So, but you want to put some vinegar down there whenever you change the air filter. That's the other thing. Change your filter. If you don't have a good air filter, you are one. So,
I love when you say
you got to change the air filter. But while you're doing that, that's the time to put some vinegar in, change the filter, and then chase it with 2 cups of hot water out of the tap.
Okay.
And it'll flush that drain line out. Because at the end of the season, there's some gunk, there's some slime, there's some nasty stuff in their boogers. Mm-hmm. You can go outside and find it. There'll be a wet spot out there, whatever, and it should be clean, clear water out there. If you see any slimy, gunky, mm-hmm. white, crusty-looking stuff,
okay,
that's coming out of your drain line from that line and that all that moisture that's coming off the coil. Depending on how old the coil is, how dirty it is, mm-hmm. that coil needs to be clean so that water is clean water going down and draining out so you don't have a flood.
Okay, that makes sense.
Unintended consequences, but you have to think about this kind of stuff.
What kind of vinegar?
Oh, yeah, there's six different vinegars now at Walmart. Cleaning vinegar, canning vinegar, regular vinegar.
Strawberry vinegar.
You know, the cheapest white vinegar.
It's
acetic acid in vinegar. You don't want to use bleach. A lot of people think, use bleach.
Yeah, somebody said that one time to me, and I thought, ooh, I don't know.
Well, if you put bleach on those coil fins, they're real thin, they're delicate. The bleach will eat into the coil fins, and it shortens the life of your unit or your coil.
That's not good.
For sure. So that's why a few years ago, the manufacturers came out with this big environmental deal that they were talking about, and they want to switch everybody over from bleach to vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
That's because the coil fins are not nearly as durable as they used to be 20 or 30 years ago.
Oh, okay.
So, the equipment is much more efficient, and so it's important to have it cleaned professionally and not drag a brush or something that can damage those fins across there. And then the other thing is, on the maintenance, you don't want to use bleach. You want to use vinegar. So
okay, good to know.
Like people say, how much? Well, a cup of vinegar, it's a 3/4-inch line going outside.
Mm-hmm.
So, and if it's 10, 20, 30 feet, a cup of vinegar will get through that line, clear all that junk out. Then when you flush it with the hot water, it pushes the vinegar all the way to the outside.
Okay.
And if you're one of these engineering types, you go out there and sniff for the vinegar. It's like, okay, everything cleared. We're all good.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Otherwise, get out of shop vac and suck that thing out. If we come out and do a service call, it's going to be $79. That's exactly what we're going to do.
Right.
We've had two of them this year where we had to get the nitrogen bottle out and blow that. There's a big old turd stuck down in there, and it's blocked that thing up. It's a mess. So,
yeah.
But if you keep something in that drain line at the end of the season, then you won't have any trouble going forward.
Okay, great advice.
And then at the end of the season, it will get dry, and the air conditioners will eventually shut off, and all that stuff in that line will dry up. Well, you don't want that stuff to get dry and wet again, dry again. So keeping that drain line clean is mm-hmm. really important.
So even as we get out of the summer season, you still need to do that every once in a while?
Well, I mean, you can if you want to, but you're not going to have that moisture going through there. So as soon as your AC stops running, I've run my AC in November, December,
yeah.
January.
We've had hot days on
New Year's Day.
Yeah, we've had,
like flip-flop Christmas before,
yeah, exactly.
And all that. So, but, it's important. Just that's the easy stuff that somebody can do. And then call us, 850-934-2768. That's Gulf Coast Air Care, gulfcoastaircare.com. And we'll come out and do an inspection, an evaluation, tell you what kind of cleanliness you got going there. Mechanical hygiene is a huge thing that kind of slips past a lot of people.
Oh, we get busy.
Well, it's
and
blowing cool.
Yeah,
so,
I'm good.
And then you start smelling that funky odor like, oh, man, where did wet dogs come from? There's a bunch of wet, sour towels in here. Oh, it's bad.
Yeah.
So that's another indication of what's going on.
Is there a fee when you come out?
We do free estimates. So,
oh, that's great.
Yeah, we'll come out and, we want to get some information. You call Vanessa at the office and she'll take your information, and then you'll see Sam. On occasion you might see me. I've been doing a lot of the commercial stuff. We looked at a big job in Destin. I came back from Colorado and had a big job in Destin that looks like it's going to happen in the off season, so that's a good thing. But
right.
For our day-to-day stuff like that, if you have any questions or concerns, somebody told you one thing, you're like, I'm not so sure about that.
Yeah.
There's no obligation for me to answer questions, to mm-hmm. set the record straight on what's going on. I mean, I've been doing this 30 years, and I consider myself kind of an educator.
Right.
Indoor air quality guy that, shell answer man, and, I'll help you figure out what needs to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then whether you believe that or not, that's up to you. But, we go forward with
Well, I've known Todd for a long time with Gulf Coast Air Care, and one of the things that I take advantage of is you have a newsletter that comes out every month. And I love that because he has all kinds of tips, and it's very timely. It's hurricane season. You'll have some tips about that when we get into the wintertime and summer. So what would someone need to do if they wanted to be on your email list?
So just call us at the office, 850-934-2768. Or send us an email at info@gulfcoastaircare.com. We'll put you on that distribution. And then you can get just a simple reminders, tips for the season.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the dad jokes that I'm famous for. I don't know how famous I am, but, you know.
Infamous is probably
word. It's all good.
Well, we've got some texts rolling in, so let's see. We've got a question here.
Good.
We recently had our HVAC maintenance and a UV light installed over the last 3 weeks.
There you go.
We've heard popping. I assume this is moisture falling onto the coils?
It could be. That some of those UV, I don't know of any of them that are popping.
Mm.
There used to be an electronic air cleaner that would pop different. It was like a bug zapper.
Well, sometimes when water hits electric, like a light, it pops, right? Is that what they're talking about, maybe?
The ultraviolet light, for it to be the most effective, it needs to be shining on the coil, either on the top or underneath.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's underneath, there's a chance that you could get a drip on it and all that kind of stuff. That popping could be, I don't think it's anything. You know, there should be a viewport so you can look and make sure that purple, blue light is still shining in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then... I'm not exactly sure what that
might
is.
Be one where you might need to come out and take a look at it. Yeah, y'all should give Todd a call and have him just come out and take a look at it, see what's going on.
You know, it's
that kind of sound makes me nervous.
Yeah. Any odd noises that you're like, what was that?
I
live in Gulf Breeze, so it's probably a bear. But
right, true.
I think it came from the air conditioner, so the bear's not out there cooling himself off of the air conditioner.
There you go. Great question. And if you've got a question, send it in at 850-437-1620. Got another one for you.
Okay.
This is more about purchasing a unit.
All right.
For a 4-ton replacement in a high-rise condo, how do I decide between AC and a heat pump?
I would go with the heat pump.
Oh,
man, that's a big condo if they're putting 4 tons of air in a high rise.
Wow.
That is a huge condo.
Okay.
Massive.
Okay.
Because those things are really tight.
Mm-hmm.
They're built in a tower with concrete construction. And typically, a 4-ton unit, you want to make sure that they've done a heat load on that, not just sold you like, it didn't cool right in here.
Mm-hmm.
That's a duct issue. You don't want to increase the size of that air conditioner indiscriminately. But a 4-ton unit in a condo, that's a big condo.
Okay.
So, I would select a heat pump. Now, when you're in a tall building, you get the chimney effect. So the heat rises and the air pressure tends to rise too. I remember one time we were out at Portofino.
Right.
In
and
the
those
stairwell
are high towers.
On the 20th floor. And you could feel the air rushing up through the stairwell just from that chimney effect. I mean, it's crazy how much wind there is going there.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing kind of happens in there, so you get a little bit of heat load coming up. But, that would be my selection, would be a heat pump, because we don't have horribly brutal winters down here. And they've got heat pumps now that work down to 0 degrees.
Huh, okay.
So I was talking to a neighbor of mine out in Colorado, and he was talking about putting in a heat pump out there at 9,600 foot elevation. I'm like, wow, there's a question mark about the elevation there, how that works.
So how does a heat pump work? Because I'm not as familiar with that.
So there's a reversing valve in that thing. And so it draws the heat from inside the house and dumps it through the evaporator coil. And then when the heat pump's working in AC mode, you can go outside and put your hand over the air conditioner and you'll feel that hot air coming out.
Oh, wow. Okay.
In the wintertime, that valve reverses and it pulls airflow from outside through that refrigerant in the condensing unit at the outdoor unit.
Mm-hmm.
And it pumps that. It warms that refrigerant up and then the airflow passes across it. That's why a heat pump is slower to heat during the wintertime. It's not like standing under the vent with a gas furnace going, you can feel that hot air coming out.
Right, right. He's got his hands up in the air, by the way.
Here
he's demonstrating in the studio.
So when you when you use a heat pump in the winter, it slowly brings the temperature of the room up a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's not like that. It's dumping 120 degree air into that room and warming it up like a gas furnace. That's
right.
Different.
Right.
But the heat pump is the most efficient way, in my opinion, to cool things. And, you know, and there's different thoughts on all of it. The price of natural gas and all that, if you actually have natural gas, or some places that you don't have access to natural gas. But yeah, I would pick a heat pump.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for that question. Got another one that came in.
All right, boy, we're going strong.
Yeah, this one says, with the weather as it is, I don't know what to put my thermostat on. In the morning, it's cool, then it's hot, then it's cool again. Any recommendations? Do you keep changing it throughout the day or keep it on one temperature?
I like one temperature. One of the things that happens in today is overcast. It's been overcast all week.
It's cool this morning.
But on those hot, humid days we had at the end of last month and you know, last few weeks, so you get to dew point temperature. So if you set your thermostat to 70 degrees, you could potentially have dew point temperature from outside because of all that heat.
Right.
So anything that actually gets to 70 degrees is all, it's sweating like the outside of a glass iced tea.
Oh.
So you don't want to set that temperature
too
below dew point temperature.
So how do you find out the dew point temperature?
Well, it's reported on the weather, and oftentimes the easier way, because it's kind of an elaborate equation to figure that out, I just tell people get a hygrometer, a little cheap hygrometer.
I've got mine at my house. Yeah, it's here.
Is there one in here somewhere?
Yep.
Anyways.
It's usually around 53% in here.
And if you're in the 50s, you're in great shape because you're not it's not too wet in there.
Yeah, Todd gave me one. I have it at home. It's been averaging around 53%.
Oh, yeah, you're in great shape, man. Comfortable at your house.
Yes, sir. All right. And I keep mine at about 70.
So you just got to deal with the flooring guy now.
That's all. Exactly.
I heard you.
That's exactly right.
But anyway, so the easiest way to do that is just keep track of your humidity, because if it's above 60% on a regular basis, you're going down the mold road eventually, because all that extra moisture in there, all microbial issues and mold growth, they're moisture related. They're they're based on how much moisture, water vapor, humidity is in your air. And we know outside is bad, especially today. I mean, it's liquid humidity out there today,
now,
looking out the window.
Exactly.
And in the house, you don't want that. You want it cool and dry and crisp. You know, if it's cold and clammy feeling, you got that thermostat probably set too low because it's not, you know, and you want a run time on your air conditioner. People don't like to hear this.
Okay.
But you want your air conditioner to run an extended period of time, not all day, but if it's designed correctly, on those 95 degree days, it will run all afternoon trying to keep up. That's the design factor that's built into the thing. That extended runtime for an air conditioner pulls the humidity out of the air.
Right.
And then it keeps your duct system, your air conditioner, all that from sweating, raining, and then that moisture leads you down a mold problem, and then you got all kinds of issues that you're going to call us for.
Yeah.
Gulf Coast Air Care, 850-934-2768 if you're already there.
Right.
You don't have to air out your dirty laundry here. Just call Vanessa at the office.
Yeah. And, we don't want to embarrass you.
Right. Well, and you know, speaking of laundry, if you need the dryer vent cleaned, I mean, that's a recommendation that comes once a year.
See, and I never think of that.
Well, you know, you go to the beach, and we still got beach season. I know school started back, but the beach season is kind of reduced all of a sudden. But if you notice those beach towels don't get dry in that first cycle of the dryer, probably time to get your dryer vent cleaned. And we do a lot of dryer vent cleaning.
Is that expensive to do?
It's about $200 or $250. It depends. A lot of them are on the roof. A lot of them are come out the side of the house.
Right.
I see some of them that come underground level and then they come up. Those will fill up with water. So we have to extract water on occasion.
I don't even think of these things. I rented for a long time, so I'm back to owning again. So I'm sitting here going, oh gosh, I got to make a list.
Oh yeah, here's your honey-do list.
I'm going to make a list for sure. Well, I think the question about the temperature goes back to people's concerns right now about the economy and their bills. And if I run my air a lot, my bills, electric bill's going to go up. So I always recommend budget billing for people because that kind of evens it out over the year, because you do have seasons in the fall where you're not running it hardly at all. Because it's so
set
nice.
It on 74, 75. Mm-hmm. And check your humidity. And so I have a guy that's been with me forever, Big Dave, and he has people cover up the thermostat and set a number that feels comfortable. They're like, don't look at it, leave it covered up for 3 days, and then you open it and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm living okay at 76 degrees in here.
Oh, okay.
And I hear people all the time, you look at me, I'm built like a polar bear. And, you know,
well, you've got the
you
white.
You can see underneath there, too. There,
you've got the white beard, and I can see the red hat on in a couple of months, right? He's got the Santa look for sure.
But I run 78 degrees in the daytime.
Do you?
How the heck do you do that? Well, wow. Because the humidity's in the 40s. That's how.
Oh.
So I was out in Colorado. Uh-huh. The humidity, one morning I woke up, I'm like, what is going on? 21% humidity. And it was 46 degrees out there. I was feeding the bird feeders in my, you know, jacket and all that kind of stuff. So it was crazy.
Right.
But, you know, so that humidity plays a huge comfort factor in what's going on.
Sure.
And then the other part of it is how clean is the duct system? How functional is a unit? Is it efficient? Is it causing health issues in the building? You know, there's a lot of factors that go into that. And we only want to come out and look and figure out the one thing we can change at a time to make sure that we get, you know, there's sometimes we show up an estimate, we look up in the attic like, bah, here's the problem right here. It's glaring
right
you in the face.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it has little green eyes and it's eating holes in your ductwork and it's truly glaring you in the face.
Oh, no.
Which is not fun. Those are not fun. But, you know,
so you're talking about real critters
up
there.
Yeah, I'm talking about critters up there. So those can be issues.
Mm-hmm. And you don't even know it.
Oh, you know it. There's one room that doesn't cool down, and there's a nest over there. It stinks over there.
Oh,
it's like, what
no.
is going on? You
oh,
know,
no.
we can fix that now, but it's better to wait and fix that in the fall. Get rid of all those holes. Gaps, cracks, and holes is what my business is about.
Mm-hmm.
But the critter people, gaps, cracks, and holes for them as well. You know, they're trying to keep the rats and the squirrels and the whatever's coming into your attic from getting in there.
Right.
Because then they're going to that ductwork that's sweating because the thermostat's set below dew point, like 68 degrees, and it's sweating, and then they're licking that moisture, and then they chew the duct, and then blah, blah, blah. We got this whole snowball thing going.
I said, okay, that makes
sense.
That
was my tie into a snowball, which, you know.
Like, well, we're not quite there. Not quite into the snow. Talking with Todd St. Orr's with Gulf Coast Air Care. He's been in business how long?
31 years.
Gosh, and I've known you a good 20 of that.
I only feel like I'm 31 years old.
You don't look at
you
don't look. You got the heart of a youngster. There's no question in my mind. So if you want to reach him, what is the best way for folks to get in touch with you?
850-934-2768, gulfcoastaircare.com. And, you know, if you want to be on the newsletter, just like, I don't know who to call. I don't know what, you know, it's like no obligation from us. We'll send you a little, you know, it's a two-pay. It takes 10 minutes to read it, you know, and then
it's great.
I just get a reminder every month about what's going on. So
No, it's a good thing. Now we've got just a couple minutes left, Todd. I know it's kind of flown by, but do you have anything you wanted to mention as we get into this? We're in the hurricane season. We're coming into fall. Anything you want to mention?
Well, you know, the thing I love about preventive measures, because we were talking about, you know, like what can we do? The ultraviolet light will keep your coil clean. That light shines on the coil. It keeps that stuff from building up in there. Keep your drain line clean. But if you put the ultraviolet light in, you don't want it up in the plenum, up in the ductwork above the unit. You want it on the coil or at close proximity to the coil. And that's not me talking. That's not only me. It's the manufacturers. They recommend that the most effective location for that is that ultraviolet light. It's the C band of UV light. A and B is what gives you a sunburn at the beach. A and B UV.
Mm-hmm.
The C band of UV kills stuff on a cellular level. So you want it close to where that stuff is building up, which is on that wet coil. It's dark. It's the right temperature. You got the perfect storm brewing in there. So consider an ultraviolet light.
Now, that doesn't come with the unit. That's something you'd have to install
that's
yourself.
That's an add-on.
Okay.
And, you know, roughly $600 to $800 is what we charge for a basic one. You can get the elaborate one where you can have two parts, or it just depends on the configuration of your unit and all that. And there's a lot of them out there in the market. They have a lot of momentum in the market. It's a good thing to put down, especially here in this climate, because it's humid all the time. So we get a lot of microbial growth. We get a lot of mold growing.
Oh, yeah.
And some of that is we've induced it from that thermostat on the wall, and some of it is, well, we've induced it by deferring maintenance. Like, you have to have somebody look at that unit every year, duct cleaning 5 to 8 years.
All right.
Call us, GulfCoastAirCare.com.
Call
850-934-2768.
850-934-2768. Gulf Coast Air Care. Todd, I'm so glad you're back.
It's good to see you again, mate.
And we appreciate all your great advice and help with our air conditioning needs. And again, that's Gulf Coast Air Care. Thanks for being on Pep Talk. We'll see you again next time.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll be back with you on just a few minutes.
I'll be back soon. I'm not going anywhere now.